So, I was driving around, day off, my days off for Friday, and I had to pick up a gift for, you know, the old holidays. And then I look out the window, and right as I'm getting this gift, the movie theater's across the street. And it's 2 o'clock, and the movie playing at 2 o'clock is Manchester by the Sea. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine, good friend of mine, he had told me that that movie was up my alley, but that it was borderline depressing and super sad.
Okay.
And I said, all right. So, 2 o'clock. I got nowhere to be. I'm going to step on into Manchester by the Sea for a 2-hour and 17-minute drama film. Lee Chandler, the character, a brooding, irritable loner who works as a handyman for a Boston apartment block. One damp winter day, he gets a call summoning him to his hometown north of the city. His brother's heart has given out, and suddenly he's been named guardian to his 16-year-old nephew. All right, and as if losing his only sibling and doubts about raising a teenager weren't enough, his return to the past reopens an unspeakable tragedy.
Ooh.
Okay, now I'm not going to go. I don't want to ruin the movie.
This sounds really heavy.
Super heavy. The most heavy. I'm sitting there, middle of the movie, full body emotional cry. Like, I am.
Oh, no.
But I loved it, Roger.
It was a good cry.
Well, they're all good cries. See, that's all the right thing. As we get to know each other better at 2:12 in the morning here, is it a weird, and I don't care if it is, that, or is it normal? I just want to, I want to just break this down here. Is it normal? Is it, what does it say? For people that love sad movies, like I love sad movies because it connects me with myself. Like it takes me into,
it touches something within you,
right? Someplace that I don't necessarily get to all the time,
right?
And I it's like a release of the pain that you're holding, and all of us have it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and I mean the moment where, like, I don't want to ruin anything, but you know his ex-wife apologizes to him, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my god, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know, some of my favorite movies of all time, Ordinary People, super heavy film. Kramer versus Kramer. You see any of those, Roger?
Yeah. Long time ago, but
right.
I saw them. Very emotional movies.
Right, and
Now, let me ask you.
Yeah, 312-981-7200,
by the way. You're getting up in years, even though I'm way ahead of you. You're starting to get up in years. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that? I mean, go back to those movies. Are you becoming more emotional? Are you finding yourself, as you get older, that you are becoming more openly emotional about certain things like that than when you were a younger person seeing those movies, where maybe you didn't openly cry or it didn't hit you like it does now? Because I know for myself, at a drop of a hat, I'll start crying like a little baby over something that I didn't think was that emotional.
What do you make of that?
I think we, as we get older, we become more, our priorities change. We become more in tune with ourselves. And I think as you not only get older, but if you go through certain health issues, as I have over the last couple of years,
right,
you start seeing something that you as a kid don't see, your own mortality.
Right. You don't feel invincible anymore.
Right.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And thank you for sharing, by the way, Roger. You've been through a lot in the last couple of years. I know you've talked about it on the air, but it's always feels vulnerable. I mean, I can go back to, like, my favorite sports movie growing up was The Natural, and when Roy Hobbs hits the bomb into the night and you know, he hits it into the lights and basically it's like fireworks are coming down. I mean, I'm 12, 13 years old whenever The Natural came out, and I was super in touch with the joy/pain of and tears of joy there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was good.
And when I first watched Ordinary People, I was probably in college. So, but I think overall, to your question, to answer it more bluntly,
mm-hmm.
I think I am becoming more open that way these days. And okay. like the way I experienced Manchester by the Sea was much more significant, like by the way my body was moving through it. Like it wasn't like one tear was coming out. Like I was actually like feeling my whole diaphragm go up and down, which was sure. like, whoa, where's this coming from? Mm-hmm. Like I feel way more open than I ever have been.
Definitely.
So
I think you're becoming more in tune with your inner,
it's like connection with yourself or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, but you're starting to admit to yourself, unconsciously probably, some of your emotions that you've kept in check for many years. There may be certain things that you for whatever reason you did not openly admit to yourself, and now as you get triggered by things like this movie or the Cubs winning the World Series or things like that, highly emotional situations, you're allowing your body to understand that that is something that does affect you.
Yeah.
And you need to show that, if to nobody else, yourself.
Really, because you don't want to hold it. Otherwise,
right.
It's like you're walking around like clumps in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be expressed in different ways that you don't necessarily, aren't intended, don't mm-hmm. make sense, and the old build-up passive-aggressive rager or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
312-981-7200. Do you like sad movies? What are some of your favorites? What do you think it means? Or are you someone like that? When somebody says, hey, this movie's super sad, no chance, don't want to go there, mm-hmm. absolutely not, give me any whatever, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, right now. Don't want to feel that stuff. Give me Dumb and Dumber.
Oy.
You don't like Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I don't go for that type of comedy.
Okay. No. What do you mean by that?
I like more intelligent comedy. Not saying that okay. wasn't intelligent, just on a different level.
Right, and listen, I like both to be accurate here, but
right.
I like if you're asking me what my favorite movies are, they're all kind of.
Well, it depends what mood you're in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you have like a favorite Western and a favorite sci-fi flick and a favorite
sure.
detective movie? So it depends. Like everyone says, what's your favorite movie? I can't tell you. I've got too many of them. I saw one of my friends on Facebook was watching on TCM, Turner Channel or something on cable, whatever. He was watching the Thin Man movie. It was an old movie.
Right.
Had never seen it in his life. I saw it decades ago. Loved it. Great writing, great acting. The mystery, because he's a detective, a private detective. So, you know, you've already figured out who done it, like way early on. But the story was not about the whodunit. The story was about this detective and his wife and their dog, Asta, who played a big part in each movie, and how they got along. And it's a hilarious movie. Very well done, very entertaining, and very of that time. So when he said, I'm watching it now, wow, this is a great movie, I said, you know, what took you so long? You know? So it depends on what stage of life you're in, I think.
312-981-7200. The stage of life is an interesting question. Let me ponder that for one second.
Ooh.
Let me get Nick in here, who I think somewhat similar to you, Roger, in his experiences. Go ahead, Nick. Welcome to WGN. Hang on a second, Nick. Now you can go ahead. Go ahead, Nick.
Mark, are you there?
I am here, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Mark, I wanted to tell you I loved you at You were my second favorite college football player since O.J.
Is that right?
You bet.
And
I love you on NCIS.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Nick, for many years I've wanted to change lives and salaries with Mark Harmon. He's a great man. I've never met him. But have you... Would you prefer that Mark Harmon was sitting in the seat right now?
Well, as I listened on the radio, I wasn't quite sure until I'm now speaking to you over the airwaves.
Interesting. Nick, you're scaring me right now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you. Nick. After all that, that's what I get, Nick. Going Mark Harmon on me, NCIS. It says on the screen, Nick, I have become emotional after my stroke. I thought we were going to go somewhere deep.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what he says. Yeah. Nick's upset. All right.
Don't be upset, Nick.
That's okay. We're all here together. Whatever you need to get out on the overnight, 630 texting in. Helps me feel, makes you feel more normal. King John loved Manchester by the Sea, saying it was heartbreaking but had some funny parts. King John is a hero and a great man. And I'd go watch Manchester by the Sea again with King John, who I believe, is he working Christmas Eve? No, he's not.
No.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Well, maybe a pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're live tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, as you've been mentioning on your news.
Yeah. Until 6, right?
Until 6. And then I don't know. Then we're
then
doing.
Then we go to pre-recorded.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Mike. Hopefully this will go better. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hey, what's going on, Carmen?
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm chiming in because, I don't know. I don't really like, I guess, sad movies in the sense like the movies that I would have to go see. I'm an African-American, so most of our back, you know, sad movies are where the brother pretty much gets beat up and beat down for 2.5 hours just for him to kind of like, you know, maybe persevere in the last 5 or 10 minutes. For example, like Hurricane or Pursuit of Happiness or 12 Years a Slave.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, I'd rather not. I'd rather put $5 for a Kevin Hart movie than really sit through that for like, you know, 2 hours. Life is hard enough. Why go to the movies to cry?
Right. I mean, in the Jewish world, that'd be like, okay, am I going to go to another Holocaust movie? How many of these am I going to watch in my lifetime?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you've seen Schindler's List or if you've seen the Malcolm X or whatever, you've seen them all. But that's
right.
Just kind of how my take on it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but that's kind of that's exactly how I look at it. Like, and there are plenty of other movies from, especially if I'm spending $12. And actually, this is the last one that I actually saw was 12 Years a Slave. I'm like, I paid for this. And, like, you know, I was forced to go watch this, and I understand, like, the importance and the significance of it. But I'd rather go see Django twice. And actually, I bought it. But, the other ones where it's like, hey, man, I understand how hard life is. I'm living it. I'm not going to pay $12 to go see it.
See,
on the big screen.
Can I ask a
please do, Roger.
If you saw the movie Finding Forrester, do you remember that one? Young kid in New York. A street basketball player trying to get in with Sean Connery.
With Sean Connery and Sean Connery, yeah, I remember. Like he was really gifted, and he kind of missed the free throw on purpose, or something along.
Yeah, he was a very gifted writer, and he was trying to get into a prestigious high school, and they tried to put him down. And that's a great movie. Another one where I cry at the end.
I wouldn't say I caught at that, but anyway, I like those kind of movies as well. But you know, that's a little bit like more lighthearted than I wouldn't say it's lighter than definitely like 12 Years a Slave.
Definitely.
Mike, did you see Glory?
Yeah, even Glory, the Glory or. What's the movie with the real heavy woman, Gabby Sivide?
Oh, where she won the award? Didn't she win the Academy Award for that? She was in?
That was the most depressing movie ever.
Right.
Oh, my God. There was that's one of those movies you see once, period. Nobody, even anyone who saw it and said it was great, none of them said, I saw it twice.
Right.
I mean, it is terrible. I'm sorry, Kate.
See, but that's the thing, Mike. Like, I keep going back. I've watched. Have you ever seen Ordinary People? Probably not. Have you?
Yes.
You've seen Ordinary People, 1983, Mary Tyler Moore, the whole deal.
Actually, no, I haven't.
Okay. That would.
I thought you meant beaches. Actually, yeah, but beaches. I got confused with beaches.
What about Thelma and Louise?
You ever where they drove off the cliff. Actually,
Yeah.
But actually, that wasn't definitely. I wouldn't. That was more of like in uplifting and, you know. Actually, if you're a woman, I guess it was like, hey, you know what, bro, you know.
It was very empowering.
It was empowering, but they ended up driving off a cliff and killing themselves.
But they were kind of making a statement in a weird way.
Yeah, but that did not end the way you want. That is a sad ending.
Maybe it's a sad ending. You've seen beaches, haven't you? That's a sad ending. Or Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
That's a very sad movie, you know, and with great actors. And, you know, if, you know, Deborah Winger doesn't get you crying, I don't know what will.
Right. And that's my point, Mike. Like, I'll go back and watch Terms of Endearment at least once every, say, 3 years at this point. And it used to be once a year, just because I want to go full weep. Now,
I have one example before you let me go.
Yeah.
Where I do go back to it. And there's actually one particular scene from The Color Purple that I've seen, I don't know, maybe two dozen times. I don't know if have you seen The Color Purple, Mr. Carmen?
It was a long time ago, and I did not see the whole thing. I know what I know all about The Color Purple and Oprah and the era, but but go ahead, speak to it, Mike.
Okay, so anyway, there's one woman who basically. She turned into kind of like a prostitute. Her family kicked her out. And for 20 years, her preacher father never pretty much gave her any respect, all of this. And the whole thing was like a redemption arc. And at the very end, there's, you know, she's singing in one of like the local bars or whatever. And as she's singing, the church where her father was a preacher, they started singing the exact same song. And it pretty much, you know, so the people from the church hearing the powerful voice of the daughter getting up and pretty much going and meeting up at the bar and singing this one particular redemption song. Now, as a kid, I didn't get it. You know, when you make mistakes and you kind of come together with all that, you know, I didn't even know what redemption would actually mean.
Right.
But as an adult, the last 5-10 years that I've seen it every single year, that scene hits me. So hard, and you know, my wife, she pretty much laughs at me because she's like, you know, I know it's coming, and it's like it's the God's gonna, you know, God's trying to tell you something is pretty much the name of the song that they're singing, and they're singing it to each other, and at the end of that song, they hug each other, and she's, you know, his father forgives her, and it's just a really powerful scene in that movie, and more so than any other like. Parts of that movie, and almost any movie, I weep every time.
Now, do you actually, knowing that it's coming?
He goes back to it every year, don't you, Mike?
Do you fight it every time you know it's coming? And you swear to yourself, I'm not giving in this time, right?
Hey, man, I don't fight it. I just make sure no one other than my wife is around.
Okay.
I know it's coming. Like Carmen said earlier, some cries are good, and you feel good afterwards.
Yeah,
and that one's one of them.
See, okay, but that's where you go back to, Mike. Like your Color Purple is sort of like an Ordinary People for me, or whatever. I mean, I just rotate them through. I feel like crying at Kramer versus Kramer this week. Here we go. Let me get a good divorce scene. let me dial up some war, so a little bit of a war cry. I'm gonna hit Glory, and Glory's a phenomenal film, way underrated. And Denzel Washington doesn't get enough credit for what he did in that film, in my opinion. But anyway,
you only saw Glory once.
Glory's worth redoing, although.
How's that an uplifting movie? For me, a movie about slavery and almost in and of itself.
No matter how it should be, it is
all of that uplifting.
Yeah, no.
Especially when if we want to talk about Glory, when the POV character is what's his name?
The commandant of the group, the guy who leads them.
You talking about Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, if Yeah, the movies is the movie, but I thought it's almost like telling this, if you want to tell a story about the greatest basketball team ever, and you're just pretty much telling it from the perspective of the coach. It just doesn't really
work. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what's interesting about what you just said right there? Everybody loves Hoosiers. You know who didn't love Hoosiers? The greatest basketball player to ever play, Michael Jordan, because he thought it was way too much about the coach and not about the players. It was all about Hackman. And not about Jimmy Chitwood. Mike, you're the man.
Have a good one, guys.
Good to be with you. Love that call. 312-981-7200. Sad movies. What are your favorites? What do you go back to?
And what kind of sad movie? Do you like the sad movies that are really, really depressingly sad? Or do you like the uplifting sad? Or do you like the...
like you jumping into this, Roger. Go further. What do you want to hear?
I'm trying to think of other type of sad movies that there would be. Depressing sad, uplifting sad. Like
there's joyous sad. To me, a sports movie
where an underdog team wins and you're happy for them, and the way that it was presented kind of makes you feel like crying happy.
Like if you don't cry in Rudy or Hoosiers or in The Natural, Brian's song's a different level. But if you don't cry in the first three that I named,
mm-hmm.
there's something that's wrong with you.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be
definitely.
Honest.